Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We've got a live link at thetrumpet.com. This is the weekend edition. Protests and more protests about something. I don't know if they're sure what they're protesting, but they're out there. What were the top Google searches after the election? We've got a list. It's kind of interesting to see what people were wondering about. And the U.S. is going to pot, literally. More states legalizing marijuana. We'll have the details about that and more coming up this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live 101.3 KPCG.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on this weekend edition, Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG, and online, kpcg.fm. Thanks for being with us here today. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon with you here today. Of course, we've talked about this before. There's that old classic song, Everybody's Working for the Weekend. Well, now it's everybody's protesting for the weekend, rioting for the weekend.
Probably not working at all.
No working. No time to work. We need to riot and burn things. Some more riots and protests going on over the last few days. Oregon yesterday had one last evening. Riot declared in Oregon as anti-Trump demonstrators damaged cars and buildings. Wouldn't that be frustrating if you owned one of those cars or you owned that building and they destroyed it? Said, leave me out of this. Stop vandalizing my property.
Yeah, especially if the people who own those cars and buildings also agree that Trump shouldn't have been elected and they're still being victimized by the riots.
Yeah, there's a headline today where there's, I guess, a video of anti-Trump rioters fighting each other. they don't know what they're doing.
Just savagery.
Yeah. Police in Portland, Oregon declared that a once peaceful protest, for like 5 minutes probably, was a riot after demonstrators were seen attacking drivers and committing acts of vandalism during their march against Donald Trump's election Thursday night. According to KPTV, one driver had her windshield smashed and someone painted "Capitalism Kills" on a nearby convenience store. They didn't explain. They just... I need a little more explanation on that one. Police declared the protest a riot around 8:30 p.m. A riot is a Class C felony in Oregon. So it was interesting. I didn't know that there was a certain level where they're like, all right, this is a riot. But there is.
Well, thankfully, they can make that distinction because apparently the newspapers can't. They call it a protest every single time.
Right. It's just some of the other headlines about it. There's one here that says, Trump advisor urges Obama and Clinton to speak out on protests. We haven't heard much of that. Haven't heard anybody come out and say, why don't you guys calm down here a little bit? So we're waiting to see if that happens. I doubt it. I won't hold my breath on it.
They're probably secretly pleased, or at least they feel vindicated by the protesting, or the rioting, I should say.
Yeah, there's a here from CNN. Well, in relation to that story about the advisor urging them to speak out about the protests, they interviewed somebody on CNN, and they said, people have to die. That's what they said on on national television.
I mean, don't think that's true.
No, I don't think so either.
So well, anyone has to die necessarily.
All 35 people that were watching CNN saw that. it says KPTV reported that the groups don't shoot Portland and Black Lives Matter. So those are two different groups. Don't shoot Portland. Are they saying don't shoot at Portland, or are they asking Portland not to shoot them? I'm not sure which way they mean that. Don't shoot Portland.
Is there a comma?
No.
Once again, the comma matters. So I guess they're saying don't shoot at your target, which is Portland.
Right. Don't shoot Portland.
Yeah.
Okay. They combined in Portland to become Portland's resistance. The founder told the station that, quote, Trump is going to be our president. We need to save our city and hopefully allow people to come here to be a city where there is hope. I'm not sure what side of it he's coming down on, if he's protesting or not, but there's no hope if you're breaking everybody's windows and smashing cars. I wouldn't want to be there. It's crazy.
Yeah, probably the people who were undecided about who they should vote for are starting to swing a different way because of the way that these people are acting.
Yeah, it's there's, of course, some videos circulating. A guy in Chicago, an older white fellow, was attacked by a mob of black protesters. And because apparently he voted for Trump or something, he was beaten. And then in high school, out in, I think it was San Francisco, it was a white girl that was attacked by. I'm not sure what the race of the attackers was, but over supporting Trump, apparently. So
more than one attacker in that case, too?
At least one, and I'm not sure how many were involved, but they had to have a big meeting today for everybody to like each other again. So it's all okay now. They settled it, apparently. But it's just that anger is out there, and the media is just driving it.
Yeah, and you rarely see people get attacked unless it's 10-on-1 instead of 1-on-1. It is kind of a cowardly act to attack people when you are just ganging up on them.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is so overwhelming. The protesters are upset because they feel like, I don't know what they feel like, but it comes down to they're not getting their way. But I guess they would probably say that their rights will be infringed upon. And so therefore they're going to attack everyone and vandalize property. That's infringing upon everybody else's rights. You're doing what you're upset. You're doing what you're protesting against. It's just craziness.
They say they're afraid, but then they give everyone else a great reason to be afraid.
Oh, yeah.
Because they could be victims of violence.
Yeah, there's of course, you know, the Hollywood people are getting involved. Even the really, like, I don't know what you call them, B actresses, way down the chain somewhere.
C and D level.
C and D level. Some actress I've never heard of here from a show, Orange is the New Black, which I think is a prison-type show, Leah Delaria. She says she wants to take out Trump supporters with baseball bat. Well, there you go.
That's classy.
Yeah, nice. She tweeted, or pick up a baseball bat and take out every, you can fill in the blank, Republican and independent IC. She's going to walk around and just attack everyone with baseball bats.
I'm guessing she has a less than acceptable swing, though. Probably easy to dodge.
Yes, and also there's about, like, what, several hundred million of those? So best of luck. But just a terrible attitude, and, of course, it's a lot of, you know, bluster. But at the same time, it gets people upset. Some people were upset and said, hey, don't talk that way. Others agreed with her. Somebody responded and said, don't let anyone tell you you have to stop being angry. Forget that. They didn't say forget. Our anger is the only thing we have. Your anger is the only thing you have? That's pretty dangerous.
Never mind that you live in the greatest country on earth.
Yeah, so it's building on itself, and, you know, we'd all, I think, like to see it just stop and be done with, but it's hard for it to stop when you have a combination of professional protesters who are getting paid to be out there. And then you get everybody just stirred up, and then the media keeps talking about it, and you know, they keep pushing it. So what do they expect to have happen?
Did you see that the highly credible Huffington Post assaulted Donald Trump for saying that basically those protesters were paid?
Oh, really? They didn't agree with that, huh?
Which, of course, they are paid.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
That has already been proven.
Sure. Yeah, they're getting paid. Some of them, in some cases, and then some just do it because they don't know that others are getting paid.
The ones who
that
are starting
paid?
It are getting paid. They'd probably riot with each other just because they knew that some were getting paid and others aren't. Well, some would be very upset by that.
What was that funny comment you were telling me about what they should take out there to the protest?
some guy tweeted that instead of using tear gas on the rioters, you should throw balloons full of job applications and work boots at them, and then they'll disperse very quickly.
Right. We don't know what this is,
but yeah, like if you do have all this time to riot, then clearly you don't have to wake up early for work the next day. You don't have to worry about homework for school the next day. You just are out there causing trouble.
Yeah, it's really, really a terrible thing, and it's really the attitude is on display, and they say that you know, they want this utopian sort of society, and then they're burning everything in sight.
That's what you call dystopian, not utopian.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of hypocrisy there. So we'll see what happens over the weekend. Hopefully it cools down. But it seems like the media hasn't learned any sort of lesson. It just seems like they now the new narrative is let's blame it all on racism, blame it all on sexism, whatever, and go out and fight. And that's what they're talking about.
Never mind that was also revealed as part of their grand strategy for discrediting Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Just to call him names repeatedly. They act like we can't read those emails that say that was part of their plan all along.
Right. It's very sad to see it come to that type of thing. After the election, it's kind of interesting. They have a list here of the top Google searches, what people were interested in. And the top questions on Donald Trump outside of the U.S. was, number one, how old is Donald Trump?
He's 70,
by the way. Number two, who is Donald Trump? Where have you been?
Well.
Number three, who is the president of the United States? Number four, how did Donald Trump win? Well, he was voted in. Number five, is Donald Trump president?
I think so.
The top Google trending searches.
Oh, those were not nearly as harsh as I was expecting.
Well, these are the ones. Those are the ones from outside the U.S. So okay, you can imagine the ones from inside would be a little rougher. Here are the top trending questions on Hillary Clinton. Number one, what time is Hillary Clinton's press conference today? Number two, what will Hillary Clinton do now? It's a good question. Number three, did Hillary Clinton win the popular vote? Yes, she did, I think. Number four, how much did Hillary Clinton spend? A whole lot. Number five, that was the actual answer. A whole lot. And number five, will Trump prosecute Clinton? Who knows?
Very possible.
Yeah, I would think not, but who knows? That's interesting.
He did seem like he was a lot nicer to her after he actually won.
Well, sure. You know how it is. You know, once you've already got the victory, then everyone kind of relaxes, and it's not as advantageous or necessary to really go after somebody anymore like they did before. So, well, talk about an awkward meeting, right? Donald Trump and President Obama.
Yeah, apparently they talked for over an hour, and it was way better than everyone thought it would have been. But but yeah, those guys don't like each other, and yet they had to talk for a long time.
Yeah, I wonder what they said in there. You know, I'm sure it was all kind of, you know, you say what you think you should say, but it's probably not what you really think. Mm-hmm. You know, the president's probably like, so you can destroy my legacy and everything? Yeah, probably. All right, well.
That's what happens for making all those jokes about me at the banquet last year.
Yeah, payback time. So, to be a fly on the wall, right, to hear that conversation.
Did you see that picture of all of Mr. Obama's staff? They were kind of arms crossed, every single one of them frowning.
Yeah.
Because I guess they were looking on during a public portion of the meeting. Very unhappy, it seemed like.
Well, it's interesting, too, because I watched the video of their little gathering with the press there that they always have. And when the president was talking, there was a couple little camera clicks. But then when Donald Trump started speaking, you could barely hear it because of all the camera clicks. And you got to think to yourself, if you're President Obama, like, well, they used to do that for me. I used to get all the pictures. He's getting the pictures.
It's like being a young child and then having a newborn sibling.
Yeah.
Get all the attention.
Yeah. So that's got to be a little bit of a shot to the ego, I suppose. There was, of course, other things that were decided during the election. One of them was about marijuana usage. And three more states legalized recreational use of marijuana. Are you pro with marijuana? No, I'm just recreational. I'm not pro. It's just for rec use. Rec league. It's rec league marijuana.
I wonder what they would consider professional marijuana usage.
I don't know. I guess guys in the NBA probably.
Guys who are apparently aided by it in their profession.
I guess. I just find that funny term, recreational use.
Every time I hear recreational, it's like they're equating it with taking a walk in the park on a Sunday morning. It's just not the same thing.
No, it's not. Becomes your lifestyle. Voters in California, that's a real shock. Massachusetts and Nevada decided yesterday, or this was back on November 8th, to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in their states. Those three states joined Alaska, Colorado, and Oregon, Washington, and the District of Columbia, which has already legalized it. Well, it's been legal in D.C. for a long time, hasn't it? I thought it was, based upon the decisions.
Maybe it's just been used illegally.
Who knows?
It's greatly aided all of those people.
Yeah, it's so those are the states now. They say in addition, four states voted yesterday to legalize using marijuana for medical reasons: Arkansas, Florida, Montana, and North Dakota. I guess the medical reason would be like I'm sad if I don't do it. So that's a
usually. Yeah, it's just there aren't great reasons to use it medically because it doesn't have much of a medical benefit. That's been proven as well.
Yeah, so it's I imagine that's a sort of it's like a wave of momentum that I don't think you can really stop. I mean, you know, eventually probably every state will have that. And again, it's kind of hard to, I guess, uphold a state law when the state next to it has a different law. But, you know, so it'd be interesting to see. But, and of course, California wants to secede now, right? So does Oregon. And I think a few others. And I just think, you know, I don't think they're thinking it through. Do they have a military? Are they going to protect themselves from invaders?
That's the most hilarious part, because if they secede, we have every right to invade them and make them our slaves. So is that really what they're looking forward to having happen?
I don't know.
Especially if they think Trump is as hateful as they say he is. Do they really put it past him to just invade and take them over?
Well, yeah, I mean, they just, I don't think they've thought it through. And it's funny how that it's gaining, they say, momentum on Twitter. I'm like, it's just words. It's just
Calexit is not going to actually help you succeed. Putting that on Twitter is not going to make the impact.
Yeah, I don't think people understand the seriousness of some sort of decision like that, or like the actual process behind it. They think they can just like a tweet and they've done their part. You know,
it's an official vote, yeah, or something, yeah. As soon as you push the like button.
I liked it, so why aren't we doing it? It had a lot of likes. That'll be the way they'll conduct elections in the future. They just hashtag, you know, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump and how many of her likes they get.
I could see that happening pretty soon, definitely.
Who knows? It could happen. So a lot of contention these days, just in general, with a lot of things, including the world of sports. You're going to like this one, Grant. This is from NBC Sports. To clear cap space for Kevin Durant, the Warriors traded Andrew Bogut to the Mavericks. But it seems that Golden State became disenchanted with Bogut before Durant picked the Warriors. With Dallas visiting Golden State earlier this week, Bogut revisited his exit from the Warriors, and he had a question and answer session. They said, you took some hits on the way out of town, talking to Bogut. Your durability was questioned. He says, oh, who cares? I don't care. And they said, even though it seems like it was coming from inside of the Warriors. And Bogut says, but that's how it is. I don't buy into the sources thing. I don't buy into all that because this league is so two-faced and everybody is so fake. That's what he says about the Warriors. Wow. And the NBA.
Yeah, you could imagine. It seemed like six or seven guys had to leave that team just so that they had enough money to sign Kevin Durant. How do you think all those guys feel about their star teammates who all last season were actively recruiting Kevin Durant behind everyone's back?
Yeah.
And they knew that if Kevin Durant came to that team, it would be at the expense of their own jobs. Those are not the best teammates you could imagine.
Yeah. Bogut goes on to say, the same people who made those comments will see me tomorrow and shake my hand and ask me how my family is. This league is full of people who are shallow, and that's what you figure out in pro sports. It's very hard to meet a genuine person who you can call your friend in this league. That's just the reality, and I understand that. And so he is not happy with the Golden State Warriors. I actually saw kind of a funny thing from Blake Griffin, who's here from Oklahoma. And he's a pretty funny guy. And he was doing this kind of routine. He did a stand-up comedy routine, and it was not the best. It was a little crass, but he had some funny moments. Did you see that?
I did.
Okay, well, he...
I wouldn't recommend it.
No, but
it was funny at times when he was keeping it appropriate.
He had a couple of funny ones where he was talking about what it was like to be traded from a team. He compared it to, like, if you were married and you just got a letter all of a sudden saying, like, we really appreciate all you've done here, but we're going to have you move on. And instead, we're going to have you go over, you know, and marry this other woman instead.
You just have no choice.
And they're like, well, and then, you know, they ask how you feel about it. And you're like, well, it was a pretty good run, but, you know, we'll... Because he said, you know, you put so much of your heart and your commitment into one team, and then the next day you're on a plane heading somewhere else. It's hard.
And you're expected to respond with dignity to all of the reporter questions after that.
Yeah, he did this other funny thing where he was talking about what it's like to be interviewed after a game. So he called the guy up from the audience, and he had him do like 20 push-ups and 20 jumping jacks and something else. And then he just put the mic in his face, and he was like, you know, I don't think your jumping jacks look that great. What's going on? The guy's breathing heavy and trying to explain it. He's like, you've just exercised for 3 hours, and now you got to talk about why they don't think you're good at it, you know?
It was really funny.
He's a funny guy.
He is natural with that stuff.
He's got a really good sense of humor, and that's why he makes all those money in those car commercials.
I know.
I haven't seen any in a while, but I always liked those Kia. I think it was Kia commercials. Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to wonder if there's a rift between him and Kia because there hasn't been a commercial in a while.
Yeah. Who knows? I saw funny. I think LeBron James endorsed Kia for a while. Mm-hmm. And there was a picture. It was like the commercial of him driving around in this Kia. And there was somebody that commented, they're like, you know, you don't drive a Kia.
Did you see his response commercials to those critical tweets and everything?
Yeah, I did. Which I thought was, they did a pretty good job on those too.
Yeah, it was like LeBron James drives a Kia just like I own a rocket. He's like, congratulations for owning a rocket.
Right.
My car also has some aeronautical capabilities.
He took them all at face value. Yeah. Hey, I'm sure he's got a Kia. I don't think it's probably the top of the list for him. You know, when he back when he played for the Heat, he would go back to, I think, Ohio for the summers, and he would have to rent semi-trucks to haul all of his cars up there. You know, so it's another lifestyle. That's the 1% right there. They're making a lot of money.
And yet he's anti 1% based on who he supports for president.
Yeah, they went to the White House a couple days ago, and they got congratulated for winning a championship. And one of their players said, this will be the last team that ever comes to the White House. No one's going to go see Donald Trump.
Do you know who said that?
Richard Jefferson.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I thought, Well, good. Then maybe they can quit wasting their time and do something there instead of high-fiving everybody.
It's funny because you get the impression from a lot of the reaction of the players and from even some of the articles I've read about the players that 100% of them vote Democrat. I doubt that's true, though.
Yeah.
It's just there are some people who are the silent minority in this case, but they're the silent minority, and they wouldn't dare speak out.
No. If you're in a locker room with those guys, you travel all around the country with them, I mean, they're your family in a sense. You don't want to cause any problems. So, I mean, it's their livelihoods. You know, if the best guy on the team doesn't want to pass you the ball or he doesn't want you in the game because he doesn't like your viewpoint, then you're done. So they keep their mouths quiet. But I don't think it's 100%, you know, liberal like they claim it is.
Yeah. How are they going to boycott a visit to see Donald Trump unless everyone on the team is okay with it? And that's probably when they'll find out that not everyone on the team is okay with them boycotting.
There's been a history of some athletes that haven't that just don't want to go see the presidents. Larry Bird didn't want to go. He didn't want to go see President Reagan. And they asked him, he said, "Why don't you want to go?" He's like, "Well, if he wants to see me, he knows where I am." It's like, wow, that's a sort of a bold statement. But anyway, it kind of interesting. There's been a lot of talk over and studies here recently about sitting around too much. It's not good for you. There's a new term that's been coined here from theobserver.com, active couch potato. You can
active
be an active couch potato. And that it sounds like maybe you're thinking like, you know, you're eating a lot of chips and moving your hand a lot, but that's not what they mean. What they mean is you pretty much sit around all day and then you do 45 minutes of vigorous exercise and think that'll make up for it. They say it doesn't make up for all that sitting. You need to move more often.
Throughout the day?
Throughout the day.
Okay.
And that's kind of, people are knowing that now. I mean, that's been reported. And so sometimes people just can't though. I mean, or they don't. But they think, hey, I'm going to go get in this monster workout at the end of the day, and that'll make everything okay. And they're saying it certainly helps, but it doesn't help as much as they would think it would.
Right. I think we've been even hearing about the fact that you need to stand up and walk around and stretch every hour or so, even do some aerobic exercises just to keep the blood flowing, because it really is detrimental, especially when most people have a job where they sit for 8 hours straight. You do have to move around in that period.
Yeah. And they have, like, you know, basic tips on how to do that. Setting a little alarm on your phone or something and getting up once an hour, moving about. And, you know, some people are doing the standing desks. They say that's helpful, but it's just standing there doesn't solve it either. You do need to move around a little bit. And, of course, there are some really wild desks I've seen, like where you ride a bike the whole time. I'm like, well, I don't know that I'd get anything done if I was riding a bike the whole time, unless I was a paper boy.
That's right. Yeah, there are some other desks where it has like a reclining option, and the desk can kind of adjust to wherever your position is on the seat, and it's like $3,000-some.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, so what they should do is make it to where you've got to like pedal the bike to power your computer. If you had to do that, he'd be pedaling pretty quick.
See, that's the motivation we all need.
Yeah.
We need a practical reason to exercise that much.
So I was going to be funny. You know, people years ago, if they knew our lifestyle today, people that had to work all day, like physically, and, you know, trying to explain the concept of a gym to them. Like, well, I pay money to go in this room. And they're like, what do you do there? Well, I lift this thing. Well, why? Well, you know, to get strong. For what, though?
Yeah, isn't chopping wood and carrying huge sacks of cement not enough?
Yeah, people back in that day, I don't think would get done with, you know, the 12 hours of physical labor and say, I really got to hit the gym, you know. So they'd be like, you pay somebody to go into a room and pretend to work. It's amazing.
They would really be blown away, I'm sure.
What kind of a world is this? But it's a different world today. Got to do different things. That's what they should do with those gyms. I mean, There's our infrastructure's falling apart, right? So instead of going to Gold's Gym, you should go to 2 hours of like repairing the roads.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Get your exercise done. Do something practical.
Useful. Maybe even get paid for it. Who knows?
I think I'm going to try to start that up. That would be tremendous.
There's definitely a need.
Yeah. Go around and help out and make money get paid. Well, I would get paid, not them, but because it's my idea.
Of course. You got to copyright it.
I wouldn't be out there with them. I had to be supervising from an office somewhere. But you could get something done that way sometimes. So anyway, they say move around more if you can. So try to do it. Not everybody can. Different environments, different situations. If you're working in an office with a bunch of cubicles, that can be kind of tough.
Yeah, it can. I like to just take laps around the building sometimes. mm-hmm. sprinting full speed. No, just kidding.
Pushing
just
people walk. Out of the way. Out of my way. I'm exercising. What are you running away from? Cancer and diabetes. So, of course, this happened here. Whoopi Goldberg, you remember her from a movie like back in the 70s or something?
My favorite.
She's been out there. She's on that show, The View. It should be called Whoopi's View. But Whoopi Goldberg tells Donald Trump, I'm not going anywhere.
So, thank you.
Yeah. She had said she was going to leave the country. Turns out.
She lied then.
Yeah. Well, she's tried to spin it like this was courageous. On the Wednesday, April 27th episode of The View, Whoopi Goldberg addressed Donald Trump's recent comments that he is motivated to win the election for president, as celebrities like Lena Dunham and Whoopi have said they will leave the country if he becomes president. So he said, well, that's great motivation for me to win. Let's get him out of here. Matter of fact, he even offered to buy Whoopi's plane ticket.
He did.
Yeah. Whoopi took a moment on Tuesday's show to tell Trump that he was wrong. She is not going anywhere, as this is her country. And so she's kind of walked back her comments, surprisingly.
I'm guessing, you know, how the Canadian website crashed, the immigration website? Probably people were taking a close look around at the options where they can move, and they realized, you know what? As terrible as this place is, it's still twice as good as anywhere else. And then they ended up staying. They realized there's no better alternative, no matter what they think of the next president.
Well, what are they? What is she going to do? She's going to go to Botswana and host The View over there, the Botswana View.
I mean, how much money would she make there?
I don't know what they're thinking. The people that are complaining the loudest have a very, very comfortable lifestyle.
Exactly.
Very comfortable lifestyle. Better than most.
It just kind of shows you that physical things will not make a person happy.
No.
Because these people are just the most miserable out of everyone. They're complaining more than everyone else, and yet they're rich. They're what everyone else aspires to, and yet they still aren't even happy.
Yeah, it is amazing how that that works out. And I think, like, the media has found out, those that pay attention or care, most people don't agree with them. They think that they do because they kind of talk to each other, but most people don't agree. I don't think anyone was at home, you know, full of tears, you know, just hoping that Whoopi would stay. I don't think anyone cares. You know, it's like, I don't even know when The View's on TV because I have a job, but it must be down on in the morning or something.
It is. Yeah, I think that's the only way people could watch it.
The only time I've ever seen anything about it is when there's like a report about somebody getting into a fight. You know, it's on like Fox's website down at the bottom where they have all their silly stories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they always get into it about something. Or I've seen parodies of it. Like, I've seen people making fun of it. But I've never even seen the show. So anyway, she's
actually had him on the show, I believe, a while ago. So I kind of want to go back and see what that one was like. It was still pretty hostile because I think he was already running for the presidency back then even.
Yeah.
But they had him on the show and you could just tell they despised everything about him.
Yeah. And not really giving him a chance. So kind of interesting. There is a brand new Key of David program this weekend playing here on KPCG, and the video is online at thetrumpet.com. The Mysterious Old Testament Conclusion. And it'll also be on television stations here in the United States and in Canada. For those that left the U.S. to move to Canada, you can still see it up there. And so it's a brand new program. Make sure you do watch that, or you can listen for it here on KPCG. Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host Stephen Fleury is also coming up from Edstone, England. He has a lot today, again, about the media outrage over the election, the protests. Can Mr. Trump provide solutions back and forth? All the sides. Covers it from all the angles. So really interesting program today. And some good audio sound bites again as well. So really, really good programs, especially in the last few days. So make sure you catch this Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And one of the things about it, I think, is anytime there's you know, really important news like that, it's just it's a great outlet to be able to talk about it. You know, right away when it's happening, you can get the good audio clips and talk about all of that stuff. So those programs are particularly powerful. On the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, you're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. You can follow us on Twitter, too, at kpcgfm. And if you'd like to email us, please do so, comments@kpcg.fm. We're always happy to see those. We've gotten some nice ones. We got one yesterday. One of our listeners thanked us for being the real free press. So that was nice. Thank you.
That's an honor.
Yeah, because it's hard to find totally unfiltered opinions.
Wonder if they should have called us the full court press.
There you go. Abraham Blondeau has just stepped into the room, for those that are confused by the voice.
Is anyone startled?
Who is that? Is that Whoopi Goldberg? That ties into an earlier story. Sorry, Abraham.
I was listening earlier.
Okay, good. Excellent. So I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, and Abraham Blondeau with you here today. Interesting story here. Before we get to that, though, one other headline worth mentioning. Pretty important story, actually. But because of everything going on in the States, it's not one of the top ones, I guess. At least six were killed in a Taliban attack on the German consulate in Afghanistan. So that's a bad deal. It's more pushing from that Islamic group. They have a lot of different groups, but against Germany. Germany's consulate in northern Afghanistan was attacked when a suicide car bomber rammed the compound, killing six people and wounding more than 120. Four of the dead, two civilians, and two unidentified bodies were brought to the hospital there, and 128 people were wounded in the attack. So very specific attack there on the German consulate.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget that Germany is still in Afghanistan, and Afghanistan is the forgotten war. It is America's longest war in its history, actually. And American troops are still there, but Germany is one of the few NATO nations to actually stick with the Americans in Afghanistan. And many people don't see it as any significance, but there is a lot of significance to them being there. And this is one of the few times they've actually been in the headlines where they've a pretty political attack by the Taliban on German troops there.
Yeah, so a lot of pressure there in Germany, in the country itself, and then some of these attacks as well. So Ms. Merkel's got her hands full. And now what they've seen here with the election in the U.S., I think everyone's a little nervous. As far as, you know, the old guard keeping their power in some of those countries. Abraham, November 11th is Veterans Day, and you're here to talk about that a little bit. There's a article of the Trumpet, too, about that from one of the staff workers here. He's a German, and the title is "I Am German, Yet Today I Wear the Poppy." And, of course, what's the significance of the poppy, just as a reminder?
Right, so you've probably seen this on the internet, or perhaps you wear one, or you've seen other people wearing one. They wear a little red poppy on their lapel or on the left side of their chest, leading up to November 11th. And the red poppy has become a symbol of remembering all the soldiers who died in the world wars and Korea, Vietnam, any war since then, defending our freedom. And it began in Flanders Field. It's a Canadian poet wrote a poem and using the poppies as a symbol of remembrance, because that was one of the few things that would grow in all the death-filled battlefields in Europe. So a lot of groups and soldiers and veterans groups in the United States, Great Britain, and Canada use the poppy as that symbol to remember.
Well, it's interesting because the headlines are obviously all election. Like, I haven't seen too much about Veterans Day. Seriously, the only thing I've seen about Veterans Day are the emails that I get to my junk email inbox reminding me of sales.
Right.
The Veterans Day sales. So it's unfortunate that that's like the main thing, at least that I've heard about it.
Right. Yeah, it is, especially since it is a day that unites us no matter what political party or whatever view you might have, or because it is about America. It is about the Western nations defending the freedom, collective freedom of all nations, really. And on the Trump.com, that's what makes that interesting, or the article so interesting, is that it is written by a German staff member. And I have often wondered on days like this if they feel uncomfortable, because we remember fighting them. That's what a lot of soldiers died fighting against Germany and everything. So the article is really great, and it does offer a lot of insightful analysis on the war in general, not just on the world wars. And because for me, I have three generations who have fought in the Canadian Armed Forces in the world wars and everything. And so for me, wearing it, I have a lot of family pride, and there's no shame or anything attached to it. But when you look at other people's perspectives on Veterans Day and think about both sides, you really start to realize how terrible war is, and that's the real issue is, you remember veterans and the cost it took for war so we can look to prevent it. And when you hear even people this past week saying, well, some people will have to die to stop Trump and all these, if you just pause and think about those words on a day like today, you realize how dangerous and foolish that is, because obviously a lot of families have sacrificed and were destroyed in war. And it's a terrible thing to have that come on any country, any battlefield, but especially at home. So it is a day to remember unity and perhaps find some unity in it as well.
Yeah, so it is. I only saw actually I think one other story sort of about it, and I don't think it was directly related, but I think it was intentional because it was put out on Veterans Day and it was on one of the news sites, one of the more liberal leaning ones, I believe. And it was I didn't read the whole article, but it just the headline was about this lady that serves in the U.S. military, and I think it said something like, "I remember everybody I've killed." Okay, well, why are you putting that out there though on Veterans Day? I mean, war is a terrible thing, but that's a shot at the military. That's to me, I think that's a shot at the military. It's a shot at what they've done, but like you said, in thinking about perspective of say somebody from Germany or something like that, you know. When you look at this the soldier level, I mean, nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to fight. You want to go home to your family and have a nice life. And so, you know, nations do end up fighting. But I think if you just look at the individuals in those armies, they didn't have a personal problem with the guy across the way from them. It's just you get caught up in these nations and what they're doing and what the leaders are doing. And so that's I think that's good to remember, too, that, yeah, people are people. It's just, you know, different nations, their leaders push them in certain ways, and then you're caught up in it. If you read any of the history from either side, people didn't want to go, but they had to. And that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, that's something really important to remember, that no matter if they're an enemy or an ally, they are people. They are human beings. And it is interesting just thinking about that, I mean, during World War One, at least during Christmas, during the first year of the war, British and Germans had a truce for the day and they played soccer against each other in no man's land. That's right. A famous story.
Yeah.
And after that, they stopped it because they didn't want any fraternization. But it does show that the men had no personal quarry, no personal vendetta against one another on either side. But they're involved in something bigger that maybe they didn't understand, or some of them did. But when you get caught up in emotions and things like that, it does show how broken human government is, where we get to a point where we're willing to sacrifice other people's lives for national gain or national defense. And it is just a terrible plight that mankind's been in since day one. And it's important to remember that on days like this, to just remember how, although there is a lot of honor and dignity and a lot of good traits to remember from soldiers, it also points to just how backward mankind is, where we can't even solve our disputes or live in harmony with one another. We actually have to sacrifice millions of men to find some kind of status quo in which we can live in.
Yeah, so it's good to remember that on Veterans Day. Always interesting. It's a really good write-up there at thetrumpet.com. I am German, yet today I wear the poppy. And check that out if you get a chance to do that at thetrumpet.com. And, of course, the history of man's a history of war, right? That's the famous saying, Churchill, I guess, said
yes.
That. And it's true. if you look at, I guess, you know, the last how many ever years of modern history, there's been very few where there hasn't been conflict. I forget. I've heard the stat before, but I can't remember. It's very few. And here we are yet again, right? Like you mentioned, with the riots and the protests now and people yelling out all kinds of things that I don't think they really know what they're saying. Just a lot of inflammatory rhetoric. And this is spreading to even workplaces. And this ties into a story that Grant has for us from Fox News. Boss says employees who agree with Trump's rhetoric should resign. What are the details on this one?
I think we found an actual bigot. We've heard the word bigot tossed around, but this person actually is one. He says this is a CEO of Grubhub, an online food delivery service, and he sent out a company-wide email on Wednesday saying that anyone who agrees with Donald Trump or anyone who voted for him can send in their resignation letter.
That seems like it would have some legal issues to me. Wouldn't that be some sort of political persecution? I don't think that's allowed in the United States, is it?
I didn't think so. But it sounds like, from this article's standpoint, that maybe there wouldn't be too many repercussions for this, which is somewhat confusing.
That's people. They're so caught up in the moment and their emotions. I don't think they're looking at history at all. You want to live in a communist society where if the rumor is that you don't agree with the leader, you're in jail? I mean, that happens in those nations. This is kind of verging on that, I think. It's a threat and it's an intimidation.
It is. It's authoritarian, and it seems like that's what we came to America to kind of avoid, was that type of rule. But the subject line of his email was, "So that happened. What's next?" And yeah, it said,
well said.
It said, "You have no place here." That's what he said.
Wow.
If you agree with Trump's rhetoric in any way.
But see, that's the problem. They're stereotyping anybody that supported him on some level as being all of these things that they say that Donald Trump is. Many things unproven. But they automatically lump you in. If you agreed with anything, that's who you are. Media has been saying that. And then this guy's saying, get out of here.
Right.
Well, who's he going to hire? All the protesters? They don't go to work.
They don't. He's going to be out of workers pretty soon. But he said, "I absolutely reject the nationalist, anti-immigrant, and hateful politics of Donald Trump and will work to shield our community from this movement as best as I can."
What a hero.
Just a great guy. "I want to reaffirm to anyone on our team that is scared or feels personally exposed that I and everyone else here at Grubhub will fight for your dignity and your right to make a better life for yourself and your family here in the United States."
Unless you support Donald Trump, then you get out of here now.
He will not fight for you.
No, I won't fight for you.
Exactly.
I'll fight for everyone except for, you know, like half the country.
I'm glad he'll be protecting people from bad roast chicken and lasagna. I assume that's what Grubhub does. I have no idea.
It's going to shut down his business, I guess.
Yeah. But, well, that's the funny thing is there's something called you have the conscious right to vote with no, and no one will ever persecute you for whatever name you put the check mark next on the ballot. That's a constitutional right, and that's something beyond, that's the number one rule of democracy.
Well, right. They have votes in North Korea, right? Wink, wink. They have votes in Iran. They have votes in Russia. But you better vote for the right guy. So it's a farce, right? The same. They're doing the exact same thing. They don't even realize what they're doing. They claim to be the most liberal in the world, and they're the most communist in the world. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's extremely hypocritical, and he's also saying that if Trump had said any of the things that he said on the campaign trail, he would have been fired from Grubhub a long time ago had he been an employee.
I'm sure that really concerns him.
Donald Trump must be devastated.
The billionaire mogul. Yes, I'm sure he's bothered by Grubhub.
But apparently, though, this CEO told Fox News that almost 20% of his employees have personally thanked him for the note. So he doesn't feel ashamed of it at all.
And 80% are burning mad.
Probably. Yeah.
But they don't want to lose their job.
You guess at least 50% of them are.
Sure.
And then some probably don't even care either way.
Right. And you're not going to, you know, even if you disagree with this guy, which I'm sure a lot of his employees do, you're not going to say anything, you know. And that's the way, you know, that it has been traditionally. Well, your politics, it's your business. Keep it at home. Right. Keep it private. Don't bring it to work. But now he's making it a workplace problem.
But get this. He then says that he deeply respects the right of people to vote for whoever they decide. But then he said he simply wanted to reassure our employees that our company will actively support diversity and inclusion regardless of national politics. Where's the inclusion for anyone who likes Donald Trump?
Right. There is
not. It's not there.
Both sides of his mouth. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's just wild, wild rhetoric. And the only reason he's saying that is because he thinks it's a popular thing to say.
Yeah.
And he feels like that's what people want to hear. I don't even think he really believes half of what he wrote. It's just, it's like the celebrities, you know, do they believe what they're saying? Are they going to really go to the line for this? They all claim they're going to leave, and then they're like, not really.
I think it's just a ploy to get Grubhub in headlines, because I didn't even know it existed.
I didn't either.
So you'll have all these people looking at Grubhub and start ordering food. I mean, it's perfect. But but yeah, it is really interesting because people have been talking about the white lash. Now there's a backlash to the white lash.
Black lash.
Yeah. But we're seeing...
I bet that would be a racist thing to say, wouldn't it? Black lash as opposed to a white lash.
Probably.
But that's the funny thing is you have all these liberals or people who don't agree with Trump really coming on strong with the criticism and everything. But you're seeing an equally popular movement resist that or
right.
just be very vehemently against it because they realize the danger and such things. And so you can just see even after the election's over just how polarizing this all is, where even in a company like Grubhub, You have to make a stand. Like, you have to choose one side or the other. You can't be you can't just be consciously or move about your day without any bias or any criticism.
Well, and a lot of times I think I don't know what's going on with all these deals, but it seems like people are prodding to find out, like, well, what did you do? What do you believe? You know, and who wants to deal with that? Should be private. Should be your own business. I don't know what this guy's thinking. Who's going to buy his stuff? if he wants to descend into a socialist society, no one's going to buy his things. I mean, there's not going to be any money for it. So he'll be out of business.
Right. He does have a lot of hateful words. And I've noticed this a lot from a lot of different liberal groups or communities. They like to use the words diversity and inclusion repeatedly. And yet they are the most against that out of anyone you could ever meet. They just completely despise the idea that someone could commit the egregious sin of having a different viewpoint. And if you do have a different viewpoint, you are despicable, you're deplorable, you are a racist and a bigot in every way. And that's what they will continue to say.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing because, they're creating a monster. And they just probably aren't thinking about it. But that monster can turn on you, too. It can turn on Grubhub, this guy. What if people just say you're that way? What if they just say, "Oh, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're this or that"? Then no one's going to listen. No one's going to look and say, "Okay, let's actually look at the facts here." When you create a monster that just feeds on emotion and hate, it can turn on anybody, and that's what they don't realize. They're going to destroy themselves.
Right. And the thing is, you're seeing it from the CEO of a company. You're seeing it from celebrities. You're seeing it from probably people who are jobless riding in the streets, and yet they think that everyone cares so much what they have to say when really they come across as brain dead. They're just spitting out the same exact words. I could go to 100 sites and see the exact same combination of words in the same order if I wanted to, because that's what they're all, it's like they've been handed a script and they're all writing down the same things. And how much, in fact, did you even see Hillary Clinton argue her beliefs in the campaign? I thought she just threw out names of all types of phobias at Donald Trump.
Well, right, and then we talked about that even before the election, that no one even talked about policy of any kind. It was just, it's so funny, too. Donald Trump's come out and he's given some sort of a list of what maybe some people that'll be involved in his administration. And so the media jumps all over and they're like, it's full of a bunch of insiders. And I'm like, yeah, right. But if he picked people that never did anything, they'd be like, I'm amateurs. Like, you can't win. And some of the names, I was like, actually, yeah, that sounds like not a bad idea. Giuliani. Oh, I don't know. Cleaned up crime in New York. That doesn't sound so bad.
Sounded like a dream team if you just consider the works of the people he's thinking about.
It did.
Chris Christie was a great governor in New Jersey. I mean, that's another person. Jeff Sessions, I believe it is, the senator, has a great record. There's a lot of guys in there who really do seem to stand for the right principles.
I saw this just incredibly ridiculous story last night on NBC, and it was by the foreign correspondent guy. He was the guy that was crying basically the night that Trump won the election and was yelling out all kinds of wild things. So he does this story, and he talks about like all of the world problems, the global problems that Donald Trump administration is going to have to face. And he really draws attention to him. Well, there's ISIS. Oh, there's this. Oh, there's that. And I'm like, all those problems have been there the last 8 years. Some of them created in the last 8 years. You didn't talk about them. But now you do, right? They're just picking sides. It's crazy. Crazy. So biased.
Well, it's amazing that now they're drawing attention to the issues Trump will have to fix when we've had an administration for 8 years that haven't fixed anything.
Sure.
And that's the hypocrisy, and that's the thing that people aren't pointing out.
Even the whole ISIS thing where they made this big deal about how terrible and tough ISIS is. You guys called them the JV team. And now they're terrible and tough. I mean,
which is it?
Which one is it?
Yeah. Well, right now they're holding mass executions of civilians as the battle for Mosul continues. You don't hear that in the headlines because of all this election stuff. But I mean, that's Donald Trump has nothing to do with that. That's all falls on the door of this current administration and what's going on there.
And if you got these protesters in the street that are all outraged, and they're so outraged and they just want all this global whatever they want, peace and unity, I don't know, sign up and go over there and see if you can help fight against ISIS.
Yeah, speaking of all of the problems that they're saying Donald Trump's going to have an issue confronting, That one article I read repeatedly drew attention to the fact that he said he would bomb the bleep out of ISIS,
right,
as if that is a horrible idea. We think ISIS is this disgusting organization, a bunch of barbarians in the modern day, and yet we're going to criticize the fact that he wants to bomb ISIS very badly. Like, they're looking for ways to say that every single idea he has is wrong, when almost everyone would agree that bombing ISIS is a good idea.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for any leader in this nation that comes in that is not a media darling, because they're going to roast you.
Yeah.
They're going to find everything, and they're going to spin all their stuff and then talk to their best friend about it and their cousin on the air. And then make that out like that's the entire feeling of the country, when it's not. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with all that. Thanksgiving is coming up, by the way.
That's right.
If anyone's thinking about that on any level.
So, awkward Thanksgivings all around this year.
Oh, awkward.
Families divided.
Yeah, awkward Thanksgivings. Families at Thanksgiving. That's right. But there are some traveling tips here before we close, in case you are traveling. Some people do. I think it's one of the major traveling holidays. So it can be a pain, because there's a lot of people traveling. Traveling for the holidays can be expensive, they say, and perhaps a bit stressful, too. Oh, yes, it certainly can. They say there's a few tips that help you fly this season without losing your money or your mind. First, they say, if all possible, avoid checking any bags, which is great. If you cannot check bags, I mean, your life is a lot easier. But then you're that guy that carries on the giant duffel bag, makes everybody mad. They're like, how? That can't be the right size.
And it just keeps on trying to shove it in there.
Just keep pushing it in there and then move somebody else's bag out of the way. And yeah, so anyway, sometimes you can, though. Maybe just wear all the clothes. Wear, like, you got three outfits, wear them all.
I do that. My actual suit on the plane, which also has a side benefit of people thinking I'm some high-paid businessman.
Well, you
treat
are.
Me better.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I remember once, actually, I was on the plane, and I was dressed a little nicer, and the lady next to me is like, oh, what are you doing? And I told her, oh, I work at a radio station. I don't think she'd believe me, because she stopped talking to me after that.
Huh.
So I don't know what exactly the aurora I was giving off of traveling like that, but...
Didn't work.
No.
Okay. Well, but you said you have a problem where people fall asleep on you on airplanes.
Yes, that is my curse in this life. So people
on your shoulder.
Anyway,
that's funny.
There's been many different positions they've fallen asleep
on
me.
You could make you're like the Sandman,
right?
And so you could sell that, like, service. If you have a hard time sleeping, Sandman will come over.
Yeah, I'm the traveling Sandman.
You just start talking and everybody falls asleep.
Now, that's also another curse I have.
That's what I thought you meant at first. Yeah. Wow, that's extremely rude of people to just fall asleep while you're talking.
Yeah, well, they can't help it. They're under the sway. They say another thing you can do is if you're taking gifts for somebody and you don't want to squeeze them into your suitcase or pay extra baggage fees to check them, consider just buying them online or sending them via UPS or FedEx. I've actually thought about that. I've never done it. Maybe this is a stupid idea. It probably is. But I thought, well, why don't you just ship your clothes? It'd be cheaper. Right? Just put them in a box and ship them to where you're going. Of course, then if they don't show up. But still, I mean, I thought it seemed like it would probably be less expensive, especially if you didn't have a lot of stuff. But if you've got to pay for the bags, if you've got to pay for extra bags and carry them and all that, it seems like it would be easier to ship them to your hotel or something, or the house you're going to.
That's a good idea.
That's a good business idea you should do, where you're a business that ships people's clothes to wherever their destination is.
Yeah. But I'm already doing that thing with the gym and the roads.
Right.
Oh. I can't do it all.
And the t-shirts and the bumper stickers.
Yeah, I can't do it all. Matter of fact, I haven't done any of it.
You have so many great ideas.
I have great ideas, but no idea if they'd work or
you
how to do
it. You could be the next Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You just got to put some resources into it a little bit.
You know, it's funny. Speaking of Donald Trump, the other day we were talking, you know, I told my son, I said, yeah, he won the election. And I said, he's the oldest president to come in for first term, 70 years old. Well, I said oldest. And he said, well, how old is he? I said, well, he's 70. He's like, he's 70? I said, he's not all real. I mean, I don't think that hair is like his. I don't know what's going on, but it's not exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, the hair and the skin are a little suspect.
Something's a little different, but hey, to each their own.
He looks bright and glowing, but probably artificially.
Yeah, artificially glowing. They say, lastly, when choosing your flight, try to pick one that departs in the morning. Earlier flights are more likely to leave on time, and even if you experience delays, you have a better chance of getting where you want to go for that day. So those are some things, kind of obvious, I guess, but might help you if you're traveling this Thanksgiving season.
I always think of planes, trains, and automobiles when I'm thinking of traveling and making sure you have a backup plan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that is true. That's that. I sent you guys an email the other day. I won't name the guy because he's just a weirdo. But some guy that's out there, he has always got these big conspiracy ideas, and he claims that there's underground railroads from like here to all over the world, and you can get there in like 45
here
minutes.
To France. U.S. Yeah. to France.
And he said they were building cities in space since 1962 because he knows the guy that knows the guy.
If only those things were true.
That's where Cher's going. That's she right. knows about it too.
Yeah.
That's only that the upper echelon knows about these things. It's so funny to me because as much as media will jump on people that have some okay ideas, but they'll say they're crazy. You get a guy like that talking and people are like, well, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm like, are you serious? Cities in space?
He's like a mad dog. They're afraid to confront him.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, stay away from that guy. that's some of the stuff going on. Thanks for spending this week with us. Enjoy your weekend as well, if you can. Hopefully it's a nice one for everybody. And thanks for spending some time with us here on Trumpet Radio Live. You're listening to 101.3 KPCG online, kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.